This is A Poet's Weapon, written by Flower Parrish and read by Kay Burb. It is a Star Wars fic rated general audiences and no archive warnings apply. Important tags include gender-neutral pronouns, neo-pronouns, Mandoa language, trans Obi-Wan Kenobi, and trans clone troopers. Summary. No group is a monolith, he points out. It seems short-sighted that we assumed you would all use the same pronouns as your template, I believe you call him. At first, when Obi-Wan overhears a snippet of conversation from some passing troopers, he assumes he's simply hearing bits of phrases out of context. Then it happens a second time, 2 weeks into the 212th deployment, and a third a few days later. More and more, as troopers either begin to assume his hearing range is shorter than it is, or, when he fails to ever call them on their conversations, as they perhaps begin to assume he simply doesn't pay attention to them, Obi-Wan begins to catch snippets.
She said,
he hears once, and
the medic told sir.
Innocuous fragments that he almost wouldn't have noticed, as there are Natborns on the ship who use all kinds of pronouns, both in basic and in the native tongues. But once Obi-Wan does notice, and it keeps happening, it becomes hard to notice anything else. Obi-Wan doesn't know what to do with his suspicions. The troopers barely trust him with their names, and while Cody's example there has helped, certainly, he suspects many unnamed CTs simply have not trusted him with their chosen names rather than their designations. He does not begrudge them this. He could not ever. Trust must be earned, and Obi-Wan and the Jedi know that better than most. Yet, building trust amongst an army of sentients who have had a lifetime of experience telling them that everyone except their own brothers see them as less than, is. Well, it is one of the more impossible tasks Obi-Wan has ever taken on. Which is really, truly, saying something. But, he doesn't want to misgender anyone if he can help it. He remembers firsthand how painful that can be. And if he learns his troopers' names only to call them by the wrong pronouns because he assumed which pronouns they would use, that feels like a half step forward followed by too many steps back. In the end, he caves and asks Cody to accompany him for tea at the end of a long shift. I had a question to ask about your brothers, he says, trying to head off any anxieties an unexpected invitation might create. Obi-Wan cannot help but wonder, now, if brothers is even the correct term to use.
All right, sir,
Cody agrees after only a moment's hesitation. A light sense of him in the Force reveals hesitant curiosity and only a bit of wariness, but no outright fear or suspicion. Obi-Wan suspects this is the best that he will manage for some time. In truth, he's surprised that in less than a few months, he's managed to gain this much trust from his commander. Their walk to his quarters is uneventful, but Obi-Wan does not miss the many startled glances that those they pass cast their way. Is this all right? Obi-Wan asks, as he unlocks the door to his quarters and the door slides open. If you would be more comfortable somewhere else.
It's fine, sir,
Cody says, and Obi-Wan nods, taking the commander at his word. After all, trust is a two-way street. Obi-Wan crosses to the small kitchen area in his quarters, little more than a sink and a small square of counter space with a couple cupboards above and below. Do you have a preference on the type of tea? A moment of silence, and then Cody admits, I've never had tea before. His voice is clear in the space between them, so he's evidently removed his helmet. Obi-Wan fights back the surge of victory that display of comfort raises in him and focuses on the matter at hand. Of course. Do you prefer sweet things or bitter, like calf? I don't know, Cody admits again, and for all the speed of his reply this time, He's beginning to sound somewhat strained. I'll make two I like, then, Obi-Wan suggests, removing two sachets from two different boxes. You can have whichever is more to your taste. Thank you, sir. Cody's voice is even, but he feels so strongly confused in the Force that even when shielding, Obi-Wan can sense it. It aches to know that his troopers are so unaccustomed to basic acts of kindness, and he resolves to send a message to the other Jedi generals later and check in on their progress with their troops as well. Obi-Wan prepares two mugs of tea and brings them over to a small table bolted into the wall, taking one chair and waving Cody toward the other. He slides both mugs closer to the other man and encourages, "Feel free to try them and just pass back the one you don't want." Cody nods, studying the steam rising from the cups. "You said you have a question about the clones?" Obi-Wan sighs and nods. "Yes. I suspect I have made an oversight, and I'd like your advice on correcting it, if possible." "Sir?" Obi-Wan tries to figure out the best way to go about this. He's trained in diplomacy, yes, and the clone troopers do have a culture all their own. It is not quite the same as opening negotiations with an unknown or hardly known planet and its people, however, because the clones are not only adept at hiding their way from outsiders, but have had the need to do so reinforced. Obi-Wan does not need to know more than they are willing to share, and he does not expect them to share anything at all. He cannot deny he is curious. Of course he is. But that hardly matters. It simply makes adjusting his approach in the effort of causing minimal offense much more difficult, because they very clearly do not want to admit that such a thing as their general causing offense is possible. The clone troopers seem to believe, some wholeheartedly and some only just, but all of them to some degree, that they do not deserve the same considerations as the other people they encounter. Obi-Wan will show them how wrong this is. He will. But to do so with brute force would likely cause more harm than help at this stage. Still, he knows Cody. Or at least he's beginning to. Cody is direct, and rarely dissembles unless it is for someone else's sake. So Obi-Wan asks directly, "Do you have preferred pronouns other than he, him?" "Sir," Cody's wariness screams from him in the Force. It is so reminiscent of when they had the names conversation, which still haunts Obi-Wan because it had made him feel like a bumbling youngling. But they'd muddled through that. He is confident that, blunders aside, they can get through this as well. "No group is a monolith," he points out. "It seems short-sighted that we assumed you would all use the same pronouns as your template, I believe you call him." Slowly, Cody nods. "I understand if it's easier, and you, all of you, should use any pronouns you prefer. But it occurred to me that I have done you all a disservice by not asking sooner, and I sincerely apologize." "No, it's..." Cody trails off. He looks upset, visibly, and Obi-Wan cannot even bask in the joy of him expressing his emotions without fear of reproach, because it hurts to see someone as sure and steadfast as Cody so undone by common decency. "The trainers in the long necks raised us to use those pronouns. It's fine. We're used to it." Obi-Wan nods. "I see. Are there other pronouns you would use, if you could?" Clearly seeking a distraction, Cody takes a sip from one mug of tea, grimaces briefly, and pushes that one toward Obi-Wan. Absently, he makes a mental note that is one of the green tea varieties from his store. Not those, then, going forward. Cody sips the other and seems pleased enough by it. Mint, then. And frowns. "We call ourselves Vode. My batch. My closer Vode. They refer to me with Kaish." Obi-Wan hums in thought. "That makes sense," he agrees. "Mandoa is rather famously neutral in gender. Do many of your Vode use Kaish? Or is there a degree of variance?" "No, Fox, my batchmate, sliced into the holonet deep enough when we were cadets that we all found pronouns we liked. Some of us stuck with he and him, but not all of us. Other batches over the year have done the same.
Like any other culture,
Obi-Wan thinks. He does his best to dismiss his sadness at the lengths the troopers had to go to in order to obtain information that should have been theirs by rights. To know oneself is a right, fundamentally, and Obi-Wan would go to his grave believing and defending that ideal. Obi-Wan cannot fix the past, but he can make changes in the present if only he can figure out what those changes should be. Using Cody's proper pronouns seems like a good place to start. How do you conjugate Kaish in Basic? Cody shrugs. Some do it differently. I just use Kaish for most of it. Kaish's when necessary. Kaish's self. Kaist. Cody cracks absently. Why? Obi-Wan, distracted by running potential conjugations against Basic and Mandoa sentence structures, only half registers the question and can't quite figure out what Cody means by it. Why do you want to know my pronouns, sir? Obi-Wan blinks, nonplussed, abruptly pulled from his mental conjugations. He had rather thought that would be obvious. To use them, if you are amenable. Cody opens his mouth, but no words come out. Obi-Wan has cultivated the art of patience. He waits. Why? Cody asks again, at last. There is something vulnerable beneath Cody's still, steady tone, but bellied by his confusion, and Obi-Wan feels the need to answer in kind. I am a man, but that is not the gender that was initially presumed by default of my birth. Cody seems to struggle in parsing that. Obi-Wan doesn't blame him. Gender is confusing, but for all that, he cannot bring himself to say he was born anything other than a man when it is not the truth. You look... Cody trails off. I look like a standard humanoid male, yes. Obi-Wan agrees easily. There are hormone treatments for that. Is that something your Vode might want? I don't know, Cody admits. I don't think many of us realized it was an option. Kaish does not say, for us, but Obi-Wan wonders all the same. Did the troopers not know what options they might have? Or... did they assume that options which existed for other people would not be allowed for them? Obi-Wan does not like either option, but when he catches his jaw tightening, he takes a careful breath in and releases some of his frustration into the Force. Please ensure that your Vode know they can come to me with any questions, Obi-Wan requests. I am aware they are unlikely to take me up on that offer anytime soon, but I would prefer they know it just the same. Yes, sir, Cody agrees. He takes a long drink of his tea and then says, you can refer to me with Kaish if you want. Obi-Wan cannot name the tangle of feelings in his chest. He should release it, perhaps, but knowing oneself means knowing one's feelings too, so he holds it close instead. Is that what you want, Cody? Yes. Then I would be honored to do so. Thank you, Cody. It is not long before Cody takes Kaish's leave, and Obi-Wan settles in to meditate before drafting up a message to the other generals. The battle toward getting the Vode even half of the recognition they deserve is going to be long and fraught, but however small the increments, progress is being made. It will be worth it in the end. Obi-Wan has never been more certain of anything. The end.